I read a little story and I put it in my file to save for today. There was a young father who took his little boy to a children's playground, a public park, and the first thing that the child saw was a sandbox. And he got so excited and he ran for that sandbox, but there was a problem. Somebody had left a big rock in the middle of the sandbox. And the little boy tried to pick it up, and he couldn't. It was too heavy for him. He got frustrated. So he started kicking it with his feet and pushing it with his feet, and it didn't move. And he was almost in tears. He then decided to lay on his back, and he pushed that rock as hard as he could with his feet, but it did not work. And in total frustration, he cried out, "Daddy, Daddy, I've tried to move it, but I can't. This rock won't move." And his father said, "Son, you haven't tried everything." And he says, "Yes, I have, Daddy. I tried to pick it up. I tried to kick it with my feet. I tried to push it with my foot, but nothing worked." At that, his father came over to the sandbox, and he bent down, and he picked up the rock, and he put it outside the sandbox. And then he said, "You see, son, you didn't try everything. You didn't ask me for help." And then I thought that I could almost hear God saying to me right now, "Harry, you didn't ask me for help." Let's refocus that. Do you have any rocks in your life that you can't move? You think you've tried everything? Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble." Do I hear an amen? Yeah. Psalm 121, "Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." 2 Corinthians 12, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now today, of course, is Father's Day, and all of us had earthly fathers. Perhaps some of us still do. Most of us knew our fathers. Was that a good thing? Or was that not a good thing? Was he helpful to you or not? When you faced a problem, did you feel like you could turn to him for help or not? Regardless of how you answer those questions, your father influenced your life positively, negatively, maybe neutral, and quite possibly his influence has carried up to today with how you relate to your heavenly father. Let's acknowledge this. None of our fathers were perfect. Do I hear another amen? None of our fathers were perfect. None of the fathers in this room, none of the grandfathers in this room, none of the great-grandfathers in this room are perfect. We're just not. But God is. And he wants to be your perfect heavenly father. Your challenge is to filter out anything that might be keeping you from allowing him to do that. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you're doing something that isn't allowing God to help you? Listen to this. It's from Psalm 121. "I lift my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." That's NIV. I really like the King James. It says, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills." There's a big difference there. That one word, "will," makes a big difference, doesn't it? It says that we have to make a decision to look up. Otherwise, we'll probably struggle hopelessly with whatever problem we face in our sandbox. Here's more of Psalm 121. It continues, and it continues with very comforting promises from God. I love promises from God. It says, "He will not let your foot slip." Oh, our feet slip big time, don't they? We're sinners. We're sinners. We slip up. We trespass. Did you know that that's the literal meaning of the word trespass? Slip up. Oops. That's why we don't use trespasses in the Lord's Prayer, because the original language was stronger than slip up. That's another sermon for another day. But even when we do slip up, we clean up pretty nicely. How many times have I said that? We clean up pretty nicely. We look like we're all together. We're very good at hiding our guilt. Now, you know this, but God is not fooled by our acts. He's not fooled. And he's not going to allow us to get away with stuff. So instead of looking in your mirror, look up. Look up to your Heavenly Father, because he promises that he will not let you trespass if you seek his help. Psalm 121 has some more promises, and this is verse 3. He who watches over you will not slumber. Will not. If you are blessed to have had an earthly father who watched over you, thank God for that. But sometimes your father may have been off in his own world. Maybe he didn't look at your homework. Maybe he didn't attend your special events. Maybe he didn't even know you had a crush on that person in high school. He might have well just slept through your world. Well, your perfect Heavenly Father never sleeps. And he's always watching you. Verse 7, he will watch over your life. Not just a part of your life, but your whole life. He has been there all these years. He has been there all these years, and he's there right now. Hallelujah. He knows when it hurts, and he knows how to kiss it and make it better. You just need to lift up your eyes to him. Here's another psalm altogether. This is Psalm 94. Listen to how it begins. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord. Ouch. Whole new subject here. Did your dad ever discipline you? I wonder how many of us sitting in this room can remember hearing our mothers say, just wait till your father gets home. When he would paddle us, it hurt more than when mom paddled us. It was scarier. Well, sometimes God has to spank us too. At least he does me. I assume he spanks us all. But that's not the kind of discipline that Psalm 94 is talking about. Because the Greek word for discipline in Psalm 94 is paideia. Literally, the word paideia means loving, fatherly instruction and correction that lead to spiritual growth and maturity. What a difference. What a difference. It's a word that describes a perfect father who has perfect love for me and you. I think I'm supposed to say for you and me in that order, right? I'm not supposed to put me first. He's a perfect father who puts us first in order to help us grow spiritually in maturity. You probably remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Now, I would just love to hear your answers to these questions. Were you ever naughty when you were a kid? No. thou shalt not lie. Well, here's the next question. What did you do to get into trouble? I'd love to hear that answer. Did your father ever have to discipline you for it? Did you ever feel he was too harsh when he disciplined you for it? Did you ever thank him for disciplining you? Or did it just make you more rebellious? I am not going to reveal my answers to those questions. But brothers and sisters, let's admit it. There are times when we deserve the dreaded paddle from an angry father. And there is not one of us in this room who does not deserve God's anger. But his desire is paideia. Here's a reminder. Loving, fatherly instruction and correction that leads to spiritual growth and maturity. That's who he is. Here is more of Hebrews 12. But God disciplines us, paideia. God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We should all lift our hands to God right now and say, thank you, Lord, for being my perfect Heavenly Father. I read some cute things about fathers that are sort of fun and often are true. See if any of these things remind you of your dad. For instance, fathers seldom appear in the family photos because they're behind the camera. Well, your Heavenly Father works behind the scenes too. He may be unseen by you, but he's there. He's here right now. And he sees you. Here's another one. Fathers are usually the ones who carve the turkey at Thanksgiving. Why? Well, because it's a symbol that they're the head of the family, and it's also typically because they are the family provider. Well, God carves the turkey too. He is our head, and he is our wonderful provider. Of course he provides for us tangibly. All that stuff in your closets right now is because he allowed it to be there. And he gave it to you. Hallelujah. But his provisions go far beyond the tangible stuff in our lives. Philippians 4:19, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. We should all lift our hands right now and say, thank you, God, for providing my needs. And what is the one thing that you need the most from God? It's his forgiveness. And there is nothing in your closets that can provide that. Oh, that's an important statement. Wow. Renee was just telling me this morning that she's getting ready to put her house on the market and buy something different. So she's getting rid of stuff. The dumpster. Nothing in our closets can provide what God gives us. Here's another thing I read about fathers, and I really like this one. It says, Daddy is the one who is not afraid to go down into the basement. I really got a kick out of that. It reminds me of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Lions and tigers and bears. You know, fear. All of us were born with multiple fears. We learned multiple fears in our childhood, and most of us outgrew them, but some people just carry those fears into adulthood. They're surrounded by fear. But when the lions and the tigers and the bears attack us, there is nobody we'd rather have around than Dad. Well, from Genesis to Revelation, God said approximately 100 times in his word, fear not. exclamation point. That's what he said. Fear not. He could have added, because I am willing to go down into the basement with you. Hallelujah. We should all lift our hands to God and thank him for going down into the basement. This is 2 Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Here's yet another one that I just love. Someone said, Daddy always listens more than he talks. I looked it up. Psychologists say that listening to someone helps to regulate their nervous system, lowers their stress level, and enables them to recover emotionally. Some people pay other people to do that for them. What is the opposite of being a good listener? How about being a constant talker? I looked that one up too, and it made me squirm a little bit because I like to talk. Here's what it said. When a person talks excessively, it often creates negative, draining, and frustrating experiences for others. Key impacts include emotional exhaustion, feelings of being ignored or undervalued, reduced productivity, and strained relationships. Ouch. James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to anger and slow to become angry, slow to speak and slow to become angry. Be very thankful if you had a father who was a good listener, but whether you did or not, you do now. We should all lift our hands to God and thank him that he listens. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cries. Jeremiah 29:12, you will call on me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Praise God. We're so blessed to have a perfect Heavenly Father who knows us and loves us and cares for us and hears us. Let's shift gears a little bit. Here is a brief history lesson. Anybody here like history? Anybody here don't like history? And me too. I don't like history. Well, bear with me. During the 1800s, a farmer out in the state of Washington by the name of William Smart married a lovely lady by the name of Ellen. William and Ellen had 5 children. I wonder what they did to stay busy. Ellen got pregnant with number 6, but sadly she died in childbirth. And that left William Smart on his own to care for a newborn infant as well as all 6 of those children, all the while keeping his farm alive. 5 of those children were boys. Only one of them was a girl, and her name was Sonora. When Sonora was 27 years old, she was so impressed with what her father did that she wanted to honor him. And the more she thought about it, the more she thought that she would just like to honor fathers everywhere. So she convinced the local ministerial association out there in the state of Washington to set aside a Sunday to celebrate fathers. And they chose the 3rd Sunday of June. The first observance was June 19 in 1910. Well, the press loved it, and word spread all over the country about what they had done out there in the state of Washington, and the news eventually reached Washington, D.C. A few years later, President Woodrow Wilson tried to get the Congress to declare a national holiday to honor fathers. It did not pass. In 1921, President Calvin Coolidge signed a resolution to honor fathers. Okay. In 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed an executive order that there be a day to honor fathers on the third Sunday of June that year. But it was not until 1972 that President Richard Nixon got the Congress to make Father's Day a national holiday. And Sonora was still alive when it happened. She was 90 years old. God bless her. When you do the math, Father's Day has only been around in America for 54 years. Now think about this. Each one of us has had our perfect Heavenly Father in heaven with us for every minute of life here on planet Earth. Every minute. He is the Eternal One who listens to you when you call to Him. He is not afraid to go down into the basement. He meets all your needs, especially your need for forgiveness. He is your provider and He carves the turkey. Praise God. He's there behind the scenes when you don't even know He's there. He disciplines those whom He loves in order to lead them to spiritual maturity. He's the one who never slumbers and never sleeps. He is your helper who keeps your foot from slipping. And He is the one who lifts the rock out of your sandbox. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day, Lord. Happy Father's Day. We love you. I want you to stand and sing God of Our Fathers. This is usually a patriotic hymn or associated with patriotism, but today it's to God. Let's stand to sing together.